These days, it seems almost impossible to get away from those pesky presidential candidates. They're arguing on your car radio, taking over your living room TV, even popping up on your computer. For all that, you can thank William Jennings Bryan and William Howard Taft. A century ago, they kicked off the era of the mass media presidential campaign. And as David Rabin reports, the modern parallels are uncanny.
In the spring of 1908, William Jennings Bryan, a Democrat, was about to make his third run for president. Republicans had beaten him twice before, and a daunting opponent loomed. William Howard Taft, Teddy Roosevelt's hand-picked successor. The moneyed Republicans were the majority party, and Bryan was looking for any advantage he could find. The National Phonograph Company, run by a guy named Thomas Edison, made Bryan an offer he couldn't refuse. Record a series of two-minute mini-speeches on wax cylinders. The company would sell them for 35 cents a pop. Here's Bryan proposing a drawdown of U.S. troops in a faraway land. Sound familiar?
First, that we give to the Filipinos an immediate promise of ultimate independence. Second, that that independence be recognized as soon as a stable government can be established. And third, that the Filipinos be protected from outside interference while they work out their destiny.
Bryan even got paid for this, $500, a handsome sum at the time. He was already a political innovator. His earlier whistle-stop tours came a half century before Harry Truman's. But in 1908, many thought it improper to bring campaigns to the people. Georgetown University history professor Michael Kazin.
The office was supposed to seek the man. The man was supposed to seek the office. You weren't supposed to be too greedy for power. And so the idea of going around hawking yourself as if you were some sort of commodity, some sort of product, was seen to be unseemly by a lot of people.
The Republican Taft was far more old school, but he would not be outdone. Edison's company made recordings of him as well. One accused the Democrats of a cut-and-run plan for the Philippines.
The proposition of the Democratic platform is to turn over the islands as soon as a stable government is established. This has been established. The proposal then is in effect to turn them over at once. Such action will lead to ultimate chaos in the islands, and the progress among the ignorant masses in education and better living will stop. It is cowardly to lay down the burden until our purpose is achieved.
Taft also got $500 for his efforts, plus a new phonograph. These groundbreaking recordings of both candidates are on a new CD called Debate 08. Indiana University's Patrick Feaster co-wrote the liner notes.
The political culture into which these recordings entered was still the same one that had considered Lincoln's Gettysburg Address to be ridiculously short. Speeches were long. These cylinders were 2 minutes. That was a big change.
One of the CD's producers and writers, David Giovannoni, says the time limits on these cylinders force the candidates to hone their messages.
They might sound a little long and drawn out to us today, but I would argue that the 20th century's march to the soundbite begins with these recordings.
Ron Cowan writes about the recordings in the magazine Science News. He says the cylinders were played at rallies, in concert halls, and for political clubs. It would be a half century until the first general election presidential debates, but a New York penny arcade created a mock 08 debate using these recordings. Mannequins of Taft and Bryan stood in front of a phonograph playing the candidates' voices. The themes still resonate. Democrat Bryan.
A few have, for many years, been advocating greater protection to bank deposits. In the fall of 1907, when banks all over the country suspended payment on checks, the people at once realized the evils of insecurity. And there is a growing sentiment in favor of legislation which will guarantee depositors by requiring all banks to stand back of each bank. The government requires security for its deposits. Why should not the individual depositor be protected?
Taft, the Republican, was more concerned about bankers than depositors.
The Democratic platform recommends a tax upon national banks and upon such state banks as may come in the nature of enforced insurance, to raise a guarantee fund to pay the depositors of any bank which fails. The proposition is to tax the honest and prudent banker to make up for the dishonesty and the imprudence of others.
Bryan's historic approach didn't win him the 1908 election, and these sorts of recordings soon died out. All three major candidates used the phonograph in 1912, but the recordings simply weren't making enough money. Most Americans wouldn't routinely hear the voices of their candidates until a few years later, when they switched on that newfangled device, the radio. For NPR News, I'm David Rabin.
There's more of the Taft and Bryan recordings on our website, npr.org.